Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and hello and welcome to Heavenly Grace Ministries Presents the Pastor's Corner. And I'm your host, Dr. Pastor Ken. Well, we got a great program lined up for you, okay? Tonight's sermon is going to be titled Spirit-Filled Preaching, and it's a series in Acts, and I'm starting this out in Acts chapter 2, verses 12 to 39. But that'll be a little bit later. Well, let's go into a prayer. Grant us your spirit, Lord, or God, that we may discern your good, acceptable, and perfect will. Give us a joy in fighting on your side so that what is good is acceptable and perfect may be given to the world. Wherever we are, Lord, and whatever work we do, Lord, give us zeal to serve you, Lord, and be guided by you so your will may be done and your kingdom come. So that already today we may find happiness, even though only in hope. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, okay. Well, let's get into a song. This is going to be Fighting for You by 10th Avenue North. going to play another great song here. It's called Finally Free by Ren Collective. There we go.
Like confetti at a wedding, and I am celebrating in the downpour. Your heart is wild with color, like a never-ending summer. You burn away the winter of my cold and weary heart. My soul cries out, holy, holy, my heart is lost in your beauty. All hope is found in your mercy. You paid the price. Like the rusting leaves of autumn, now every chain lies broken, and finally we're free.
I'm going to play another song by Rent Collective. It's called Find Your Kindness. Here we go.
But it won't bring them back. Disappearing down black holes of what we don't want to know. Civilization seems to rest, and all the people that we can't forget. I don't want to live off the grid anymore. Find your kindness. What can we find our kindness? Find your kindness now. 21st century lights, neon lights and satellites. How do we miss what's before our eyes? The media can freeze ya into collective amnesia. I don't wanna forget anymore. Find your kindness. Why can't we find our kindness? Find your kindness. When did democracy become a paper chasing bureaucracy? All of our hands got tied and we don't know how to be kind. Put a face to a name. Find your kindness. Why can't we find our kindness? Find your kindness now. Find your kindness. Why can't we find our kindness? Find your kindness now, now, now.
Song here is called, this is called Find Your Way by the Afters. Here we go.
Don't believe the bridge from you to me could somehow ever be washed away. Don't give in, don't start listening. Voices whispering things I'd never say. There is nothing. You're never too lost to know where the road is. It could be dark, it could be hopeless, but I'll wait till you find your way. You're never too far to be forgotten. Here in my heart, I hear you calling. So I'll wait for as long as it takes. I'll wait till you find your way back home. You find your way. 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 Do you find your way? Do you find your way
home? Well, the next song I'm going to play is called Fire Blazing. It's by Capital Kings and featuring Chris Tomlin. Here we go. Well, the next song I'm going to play is by Matt Mayer. It's called Firelight. Okay, here we go.
Dear Jesus, where are you tonight? I bear a sadness deep inside.
Well, we got a caller. I'm going to bring him on. Okay. It looks like my brother, Spencer.
Okay. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself, my brother?
I'm doing great.
Great. I'm glad to hear it. I know you said you're about to do the sermon.
Yeah, I just got done playing the praise and worship music and getting ready to do the sermon.
Okay.
You came in at a good time.
Hey, perfect
okay.
time.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Okay, the sermon topic for tonight is Spirit-filled preaching. And this is the first one of nine. And this is a series in the book of Acts. And I'm taking it from Acts chapter 2, verses 12 through 39. So let's get ready for an opening prayer. If everyone bow their heads, please. Dear Father in heaven, open our hearts to see and feel how our lives have been blessed, Lord. Open our hearts to your blessings so that we may look forward in thankfulness and joy to what lies ahead, Lord. Grant that we may be faithful to what we have received from you and never again lose ourselves in a passing moment, Lord. May we hold to all you have brought to our hearts from eternity that your name may be honored and our lives shaped anew in Jesus Christ, Lord. Give us courage to overcome the evils in life and to look with joy and confident expectation to the future, Lord, when the powers of your kingdom will be ever more clearly revealed. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. So, a little introduction here. You see, in seminary, one of our required courses is to take homiletics, otherwise known as preaching. We are learning how to put together a sermon. We eventually have the prepare our own sermons, preach them, and then the sermons are critiqued by the professor and fellow students. So this evening, we will take the Apostle Peter through a critique of the first recorded sermon preached in the new church. This sermon was preached on the first day of the church's birth at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had come down upon the disciples so that they had left the house where they had been meeting and began to preach their individual sermon, okay, about the mighty works of God in the languages of their hearers, Jewish visitors from countries and regions around the Mediterranean who had gathered for the feast of Pentecost. We pick up the narrative from there. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Verse 13, but others mocked, said they are filled with a new wine. So Peter, the representative, head of the disciples, now takes the opportunity to deliver his sermon. Even though he delivers it spontaneously under the movement of the Holy Spirit, we will see how the Spirit-filled sermon is well structured exposition of Scripture. No doubt his homiletics professor would have given him an A+ for his well thought out structure. There is an introduction followed by a 3-point message with the conclusion that makes appeal for action. First, the introduction. What's happening? In verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." Verse 15, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. So Peter begins with an introduction that draws in his hearers by taking a subject matter that his hearers are already interested in and using it to draw attention to his message. See, their attention is on the phenomenon of the different languages that the disciples are preaching in. Peter latches on to the words of the critiques so that he engages the ones who would have been most skeptical and least willing to listen. He now launches into his 3-point sermon, which is a setup with the 3 scripture references. Point 1, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Okay, in 17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and the young men shall see visions, and your old man shall see dreams. And verse 18, even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, and I shall show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And in verse 20, The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So unfortunately, Peter does not comment further, and I suspect his professor might give a little more. But it would be not, it would not be because Peter is misinterpreting or misapplying the text to the occasion. First, by quoting from this text, Peter's explaining that the phenomenon that the hearers are witnessing is the outpouring of the God's Spirit, as was foretold by the prophet Joel. The disciples are not drunk, they are Spirit-filled, and being Spirit-filled is biblically sound experience. Secondly, Peter is making the point that this occasion of the outpouring of the Spirit testifies to the new era, the era of the last days. We don't have time to go into the whole concept, but Peter is making clear that what is happening is not a mere chance or a spectacle. Rather, everyone present is witnessing the beginning of the new age in the history of God's kingdom. It is not new in the sense of being a new concept. Joel, for one, had prophesied of its coming, and it's new that it has now begun. See, part two, Jesus' resurrection. Peter then turns to the focus of Jesus. He will have a number of things to say. Well, look for this primary point, for the point he will be turning to Psalm 16. Okay, in verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As yourselves know, in verse 23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan of foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Verse 24, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And verse 25, for David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, and that I may not be shaken. And verse 26, therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also dwell in hope. Okay, in verse 27, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see the corruption. In verse 28, you have made known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. In verse 29, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried in his tomb with us this day. In verse 30, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that he would be set one of his descendants on the throne. In verse 31, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that it was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. In verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we will all witness. So, what does Peter know about Jesus? He did signs and wonders which testified to him from being God. Secondly, he was delivered up to be crucified according to the definite plan. And foreknowledge of God, Jesus' crucifixion was not by unfortunate circumstances. It fit into God's plan. So Jesus was sent by God as attested by his miracles. He was crucified according to God's plan. Most importantly, God raised him from the dead. So Peter demonstrates how David in Psalm 16 speaks of the Messiah to come. David is a prophet looking ahead to what God will do. David cannot mean himself, otherwise he is a false prophet, for his body remains in the grave and corrupts. David can speak in the first person, I, me, because he is applying his prophecy to his own descendant. So note further, Peter's repeated reference to God, a man attested to you by God, signs that God did through him, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. God raised him up. God had sworn an oath to him. This Jesus God raised up. Peter is reinforcing that far from Jesus' death, meaning that he was cursed by God. Jesus was favored by God. The Psalm passage reinforces this idea. David speaking on behalf of Jesus says the Lord is at the right hand protecting him. The Lord will not abandon him. The Lord is with him and makes him glad. Indeed, the very term Holy One infers a favored relationship with God. So Peter's first two points are one, that the Holy Spirit is being poured out and ushering a new age. Two, the new age centers around the works of Jesus Christ, his miraculous signs, his death and resurrection. Now the crowning point, what all of this signifies about Jesus, for what Peter will turn to another psalm by David, Psalm 110. Point three, Jesus' ascension. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you deserve, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. In verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. In verse 35, until I make your enemies your footstool. In verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The previous passage had taught that Jesus died according to God's plan and was raised by God. This passage teaches that Jesus ascended into heaven and was exalted at the right hand of God. Note that how Peter neatly brings the sermon together in verse 33, this phenomenon of speaking in tongues that the hearers are witnessing was brought about by Jesus. So see again God's role. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Jesus has received from God. The Father, the Holy Spirit. God is the Lord speaking to David's Lord. God is the one who makes Jesus both Lord and Christ. Again, far from Jesus' crucifixion being a sign of being cursed by God, it's an obedient act that leads to his exaltation above all creation. For these last two points, Peter would have earned high marks from his homiletics professor, but a good sermon must conclude with a compelling appeal. Okay, in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 39, for the promise is of for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So his hearers are cut to the heart because Peter's last words are this, Jesus whom you crucified. No missing of words to an audience that would include people who were present when Jesus was crucified and perhaps participated in some way. They could have responded in anger, but fortunately the Spirit was at work and they became convicted. When this does, Peter tells them, repent, be baptized, repent, turn from your sinful path. Be baptized as a sign of your repentance that you are starting a new life. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, giving your allegiance to him and acknowledging that in him alone is the forgiveness of sin. No, what they are not called to do, repent and do better job of obeying the law, repent and make up for all wrong you have done. No, they are called to repent and turn to Jesus for forgiveness. That is what baptism is about. There is a call in baptism to turn one's allegiance from a simple something to a good something else. That simple something may be outright simple rebellion, an act of evil, as in those who were accomplices in the Jesus' death. It may also be sinful trust in false salvation, which applied to everyone who were depending on their religious observances, like making the Pentecost pilgrimage to win them favor with God. See, forgiveness of sins is found in placing oneself under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It is found in believing that Jesus is the anointed one of God, who has earned forgiveness and salvation by his work on the cross and which is testified by his resurrection. Then comes a promise that brings the sermon round in full circle. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon disciples that has drawn the attention of the crowd and presented Peter with his opportunity to preach. The same outpouring is now promised to the hearers if they will respond. This is a promise indeed knows no bounds. So how good is the appeal? We will see next week how 3,000 people did just what Peter called them to do. He gets an A+. What makes Peter's sermon so effective besides having the Holy Spirit pour out his power? As mentioned at the beginning, through Peter is clearly being empowered by the Spirit at the spur of the moment. The sermon also reveals a well-thought-out structure. What he preached is he has thought through before. Indeed, what he preached revealed that he had learned well the instructions of his master. We know what was happening through the most of the period between Jesus' resurrection and Pentecost. Jesus was teaching his disciples. See, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, This it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance for the forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in his name in all nations beginning from Jerusalem. That's Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47. So Peter's sermon was being developed as he learned how to apply the scripture to Jesus. The first lesson then is that a good preacher must be steeped in scripture, and specifically to understand scripture in the light of a person and the work of Jesus Christ. One may be eloquent, one may be charismatic and winsome, but if a scripture is not expounded and if a sermon is not Christ-centered, then it's an empty message. So Peter's sermon was scripture-informed and Christ-centered. He was also effective in adopting his message to his audience. Peter's audience was Jewish. And so it was essential that he presented what was happening and present Jesus as a fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures. Neither the spirit outpouring on the person and the work of Jesus were new ideas being imposed on the Jewish religion. They were fulfillment. They were an enactment of long believed, long hoped for scriptural promise that his hearers would have held dearly. So Peter was also in tune with what would have been his hearers' greatest objection to Jesus, namely that his crucifixion have indicated that he was cursed by God. Peter's deft handling of Psalm 16 more than resolved the objection. And then Peter's closing appeal cut straight into the heart. We've all listened to the excellent sermon presentation in which the preacher builds a sermon to a crescendo only to die out at the end. Just when his message was leading to a strong call for repentance and other similar heart response, Peter makes the same appeal as his master had made when he preached, repent. This is the heart of the gospel appeal. We like to invite people to get to know God, to get connected with God. Peter and Jesus were clear about what everyone needs to do, repent. Man's problem is not that he is not in tune with God, but that he is a rebellious sinner. We may all have our different circumstances that lead us to God, but ultimately there is still one same path we must all take, which is repent of our sinful ways. Now, I'm going to be so bold as to make criticism of Peter's sermon. Even the best can always improve. The first has to do with Peter's introduction. I would have recommended that he make a connection with the phrase used by the scoffers. They had laughed off the disciples by saying that they were filled with new wine. Peter simply rebukes the idea, but he could have responded that he and the other disciples indeed filled with a new wine, the new wine of God's kingdom. Jesus had once said that new wine cannot be put into old wineskins, meaning that his gospel cannot be put into the old wineskins of the law. Something new has arrived, and their preaching in the tongues of everyone's language testifies to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the new ways. The second criticism is not about the sermon, but about how the preacher missed the significance of his own words. Peter had closed the quote from Joel with this verse, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He concluded his sermon with an inspiring word, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Okay, in verse 39, everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Everyone from whom the Lord calls himself, and everyone means just that, everyone. Peter's thought everyone meant every Jew. it would only be later that he would catch on to the Messiah of the Jews and the Savior of the people of the whole world. And so I would make this appeal to you, whoever you are, repent and call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. You may have been raised in church, maybe even held office or been a teacher. You may be someone who can constantly reject the Christian faith. You may be someone with all the credentials of a good person. You may be the black sheep of the family. It does not matter. You cannot be too far away, too far gone, that all you need to do is repent and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor can you will be so morally good, so the church filled, that you can rest upon your reputation, having never needed to repent and repent to, and call to, upon the name of Lord Jesus Christ alone. Okay? Paul made it clear, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. That's Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. So no one is too simple that he or she cannot repent and call upon Jesus to be saved. No one is too good that he or she does not need to repent and call upon Jesus alone for salvation. So repent, believe, be saved, and this is the promise held out to you. And this concludes the sermon. So let us bow our heads and pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for moving our hearts so that we may know we are your children, Lord. Even in the midst of turmoil and evil, fear and pain, you bring us happiness, Lord. We can know that you are holding us in your right hand, Lord, and will finally deliver us from all evil, Lord. Let your spirit be at work everywhere, Lord. Give us patience when the time is needed in our hearts, Lord, and in the hearts of all the people, Lord, who also belong to you, Lord. Continue to strengthen us so that even the heaviest burdens does not crush us, Lord, and we may exult in hope because you right every wrong to the glory of your name. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you enjoyed the sermon. But now we're going to go with the conclusion of the service with an altar call. So I'm going to ask you, how many of you out there do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Well, if you do not know him, you can come to know him tonight. But, you know, if you're tired of walking around, scratching your head, not knowing where to go, okay, or maybe you're not successful, or maybe, you know, you suffer from depression or anxiety, or maybe you have an affliction such as drug abuse or alcoholism or sexual immorality or gambling or overeating. You know, God could take that away, but in order for him to do so, you've got to ask him in your life. So I'm asking you, will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Lord and Savior? If so, say this little prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived, and I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With all my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not upon myself. Once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of salvation and eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at Heavenly Gates Ministry want to welcome you to the family of the Lord. Okay? I got some callers. Let me bring them back on. Okay? I don't know what happened. Why? Maybe they dropped. Okay? It looks like they did. Spencer, you're back on here. What happened? You dropped.
Yeah, I apologize for that. My phone died. Actually, the past like 2 hours, my phone has had a very low battery. So I usually like right now I'm talking with my headphones in instead of it being on the charger. So even right now at this moment I have a low battery and I apologize. Yeah, but my phone's just been dying and I tried to catch as much as I could.
Well, how much did you actually catch?
Actually, not a whole lot. I heard you talking about like overeating.
Oh, you heard the end part? Okay, the
yeah,
the,
yes. Yeah, it was at the very end.
Okay.
It was at the end, yep.
Let me bring on area code 720. Okay.
Hey, Ken, how you doing? Pauly here.
What's up, Pauly? What's up?
Here.
Hey,
not much. At a football game. How you doing, Spencer?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's good to hear from you, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I know, man. Everybody labeled me a snitch in that chat room.
A snitch?
They labeled me a snitch, yeah.
No. What chat room?
Oh, I'm not going there, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, well,
No. Yeah. No, there's actually been rooms that have been around. I actually left Discord for like the longest time. I came back and there are actually new rooms around, so... I don't think you were, like, kicked out or anything, like, because of snitching, but
I
could be
I
wrong, but I took a break from Discord for the longest time. I came back.
I got you.
Yeah, I noticed there were some new rooms around, like, compared to what it used to be, so.
I don't know. I listened to one of Ken's past shows, and my name was brought up. So, I mean,
in one of my shows?
Yeah, on your show. Last Sunday, my name was brought up, so it kind of pissed me off, you know.
If I brought your name up on a Sunday show,
you didn't bring my name up. Someone else did. Not Aaron Finkel. Someone else, one of the guys apparently, brought my name up when you were talking about who the fake Caster Ken was. My name got brought up. So.
Oh
no.
People are.
Come on.
I talked to Higgins and he said everybody thinks you're a snitch.
Higgins said that?
Apparently. He said it'll calm down in a few days, but, once you get that label, man, it's hard to shake it.
Can you give me a
call? No. I mean, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, yeah, hey, I'm here.
Oh, all right. Oh, good.
Like I've been a day oneer since Pastor Ken and we both found him, but I feel like the cold shoulder, man. You know what I mean? Like,
no, see, you ended up actually leaving. I think before I left, and I took like a 2 month break from Discord. or felt like it. But I do remember leaving for a little while. But
he was back. He was back. He was back in Discord because I gave him an invite, and then that.
Fuck you, Dave. Fuck you, Dave.
I don't see Paulie anymore.
Ken didn't invite you, Paulie. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, it's all well and good. I'm over it. It's just like, you know, being part of community, you get your back turned on you by people hearsay in another chat room. It's kind of like, oh, well, it's, you know, burning bridges, you know, but it's whatever, you know, it's all good. I don't care.
Paul, you know, I never would call you a snitch. I mean, we go way back, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would never.
No worries.
Okay,
they're about to run a water buffalo through here.
Okay.
Oh, there's a goat. Hey, you know any Muslim people? There's a goat on the field.
No, I don't know any Muslim people. Well, anyway, listen.
I ain't mad. It's all good. I just had to get that out, man. I gotta speak my mind.
Well, anyway, what do you think about the sermon? Because you listened to it for quite a bit. What did you think?
I was actually just waiting to talk to you. I've been watching a football game, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I'm at a football game right now. CU, CSU. CU's whooping CSU's ass. 28-10 right now, with 11 minutes going halftime. And there's a band on the field.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you know. I can hear people in the background. Yeah, you definitely had a game.
Yep. You hear the band?
Paulie.
All right. Yeah. I'm good.
Well,
Paulie Walnut.
Well, Spencer, you missed a great sermon.
Hang on.
Is this Polly Pocket? Oh, you're Polly Pocket? Hello?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing a religious program right now. Okay, this is the Pastor's Corner. Okay, you're live on the air.
Oh, that's cool. Do you do confession and everything?
Yes.
Yeah, we do that. I just got through doing an altar call. Okay, and you know, people want to repent for and come to the Lord. Yeah, I did. I preached a sermon and did an altar call.
Oh, you almost dropped
it. Well, I tried to murder my boyfriend, but it didn't work out. So I castrated him, and I put it in a jar.
Oh, okay.
Is there like a pot in a jar?
I mailed it to you. Did you receive it yet?
Who'd you mail it to?
You.
No.
Did you receive it?
I haven't yet, but I'll have to check the mailbox tomorrow. It might show up tomorrow.
Hello. Hey. I got castrated, man. Apparently, she sent you my penis in a jar.
Oh, thanks. That's all
I need.
It'll
go good with your collection.
I don't have a collection of penises, but thank you.
No problem. So was that true? You were messing with dead bodies?
No. Come on.
No, that's just because of the Bloody Bucket show and the song.
Oh, the Bloody Buckets?
Yeah.
With the Gigolos, right?
Yeah, the Gigolos. No, Juggalos.
The Gigolos. Tony doesn't like gigolos. That was really funny. That was funny when Tony got word of what you were saying. Boston.
Actually, Tony and I are back as friends again, and he's been on my show since then. And
He has?
Yeah, he's been. Matter of fact, he was on my show a couple of days ago. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, Paulie. That's cool.
Paulie, where are you at?
Yeah.
In the chat, man. I miss talking to you, man. Where are you at now? Like in the chat.
I'm not in any chat. I left the Discord room. I asked Ken for a link, but you know.
Yeah, I gave it to you.
No, I asked you for it again.
I never received that.
It says you looked at it.
I never received that. Trust me, I didn't see it.
It has a little picture of your little face on there that says you looked at it.
No, I didn't look at it. I didn't see it. Because if I saw it, I would have sent you a link.
Well, send me a link then. I'm waiting for it right now.
Okay. Well, give me a second. Okay. I'm in doing the program. I'll do it after the program. Okay.
Yeah. How's Pastor Kent? Are you guys back on good terms?
Oh no.
I think
no.
You should call Pastor Kent and let's let him have it.
I would if I had his number.
Well, they talked earlier in the chat, like
well,
chat.
We got a 111 call. Let me find out who that might be. If it might be Don or Juan, let's find out. Okay. Is this Don or Juan?
What's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, my brother Don?
No, Ken, that was just me. I was just kidding.
How are you doing tonight?
Hello, 111.
Don, you're on the air.
Hey, Don got lost.
Okay. Oh, we'll just keep him there. Okay. 617.
I got another question. Why are you guys shooting down Howard Stern calls as bad as they were?
Oh well, no, we weren't shooting.
No, David Hasselhoff called, and people got all offended.
Yeah,
it's like
no, see, I mean, granted, I wasn't on the line during that call, so I missed it. But I heard about it, and I was asking everybody earlier, actually,
like why? We want them calling Ken's show.
See, that's what I'm saying.
We want to bring attention to Ken.
Yeah, amen. Amen. That's the more attention I get, who knows? I mean, maybe eventually I can get off of Blog Talk and have my own radio show.
Well, that's cool. I think it was actually the real David Hasselhoff, or maybe a recording.
No, it wasn't a recording. He was actually talking. Okay. So, I don't know if it was the real David Hasselhoff, but he sure sounded like him.
Oh, they're running a buffalo through here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh my God! It just scored someone. Oh my God, Ken! I gotta let you. No, I gotta record this. Hang on, I got my other phone.
Okay.
It just scored someone. It just scored someone. Oh my God. Oh my God. They got the stretcher coming out. Oh man.
Really?
Oh, the guy's getting up. The crowd's cheering.
I hear him.
Oh, just shit on the field!
Okay. Well, we're not trying to get Spencer back. He just dropped. Okay? Okay? Let's see if I can't get him back. Okay? Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to get back to my football game. I just wanted to pop in and say hi.
Okay, buddy. Okay.
And also, hey, I sent you a donation of $42.80 or whatever. I'm waiting for my Omaha steaks.
I never received it. When did you send it?
I never received my Omaha steaks. I sent it to Ken Fishman Pasture at yahoo.com. I sent a PayPal request.
Ken, I don't have a Yahoo. Okay, well, listen, let me let you go. Okay. All right. Okay. Don, are you there? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, let's see who I got with 617. Who's at 617? Is this Jessica? Hello? Okay. All right. Well, we got Spencer back. Amen. Amen to that.
Hey, Ken.
Okay.
What's up, brother?
Hey, there he is. What
hey,
happened?
Hey, brother. My phone died again.
Oh. Okay.
Wink, wink. If you have a little time, would you mind playing a song or two for me?
Yeah, sure.
I know. It might help a little time for other callers
to
call in.
We are Romans, right?
We came as Romans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. We came as Romans. Yeah.
Okay.
There's actually two songs, and actually two of my requests are both from the same band.
Okay.
The first song is called Never Let Me Go.
Never Let Me Go?
Yes, sir. I think the album is Tracing Back Roots.
Okay, let's see. I have it.
Okay. And the other song is, you know, We Came as Romans, and it you know, it's the same song you played last night. It's called Promise.
Okay, no problem. Okay. Well, here we go with Never Let Me Go by We Came as Romans. Here we go.
Thank you.
To break down. Because I thought I heard a little commentary, you know,
no,
during that song.
He's on mute.
Okay. I was just curious. Yeah, but that
maybe,
was song
maybe,
was
it was, maybe it was Don. Don, are you there?
Don?
Don.
Hello?
What you doing there, my brother?
Hey, this is Don.
Oh, who is it?
This is Bo.
Bo. B-O.
Bo. Oh, okay. Hey, how you doing, Bo?
Pretty good, pretty good. What are y'all up to?
Not much. What'd you think of the sermon? Because you were on pretty long. What did you think of it?
I missed it, actually.
Oh, you missed
it? I just called in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I thought you were on longer. Okay. That's okay.
That's no problem.
No, Dave is on mute. Okay, did you want me to bring him on?
You know what? I tell you what. I'm actually going to step outside. I'm going to listen to it. If you can play "Promise Me" by the same band, We Came as Romans.
Okay.
And while I'm going to step outside, and I'll come back on. We could probably, you know, bring David back on, and you know, we could all chat for a little while.
Okay, sure. Okay. Well, let's go with "Promise Me" by We Came as Romans. Here we go.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Air pistol, brother.
Remember
Unfortunately, I hate to say that I found out today that he passed away at 28 years old of an accidental overdose.
Oh, man.
Who is that?
Accidental overdose.
It was the one you heard, the vocalist. He was doing the clean lyrics, you know, the singing, not the screaming, but I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but... I mean, him and his band, and you know, they've helped me through some hard times back, like way back in the day. And it's so sad, you know. People nowadays get hooked on these drugs, and I mean, it's a sad thing. They lose their lives because of this crap.
Yeah, it's an epidemic for sure.
That's why I don't do. No type of drugs at all. Never really have, except painkillers. You know, that's as far as I've gone on. I've smoked, you know, Hello?
Tim, you still there?
Can anybody hear me?
I can.
Okay. I was muted for a second. I don't know why, but Ken, are you there? No, Ken must be gone. Hey, yeah, you know, that's blog talk for you, though. Got the air pistol going. Where's David?
What? Spencer, what? Age is that